It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Swing and a drive by Duvall. Way back in left center. How far is that one going? To the concourse. Wow, a mammoth home run. Duvall keeps his hit streak alive. And the Braves have blown it open.
Chip Carey on Bally Sports South as the Braves rocked the Diamondbacks last night. 11-4. Boy, did they need that, and did they need the help of the Baltimore Orioles, and they got it last night. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. For all the struggles the last 3 weeks, and there have been lots of them for the Atlanta Braves, last night was a really good night. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Grand Rising, John. Figure Grand Rising, Atlanta. Yeah, I didn't see that coming from Baltimore, though. That was pretty cool. Hey, I know
yeah,
A was
neither
keeping
did
us
I.
Up. Yeah, I know A was keeping us up to breast of what was going on with that, because I was watching a little bit of football last night, but yeah, I didn't see that coming from Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore shut out the Phillies last night 2-0. So you're talking about the Phillies and the Braves playing the two worst teams in baseball this year. You know, two teams barely going to win 50 games. Baltimore, boy, you want to talk about tough being a fan of a team? How about being a fan of the Baltimore Orioles? I mean, over the last, like, 4 years, they've lost 100 and some. A couple of years ago, they lost 118. I mean, they're not even remotely competitive. They are the worst franchise in all of sports right now, partly because they play in the American League East. They have to play 80,000 games against all those teams. But they came up big last night and beating the Phillies 2-0, and then the Braves curb-stomped the Snakes in Phoenix. And so at the moment, the Braves are four games ahead of Philadelphia in the loss column, three games up overall. And time's wasting here. So, yeah, hey, Hugh, this is exactly kind of what you're hoping here, is that you can maybe put a little bit of distance between yourself. You've got seven games to play still on the West Coast, and then Philadelphia comes to town. So you're four up in the loss column with seven games to play before Philadelphia shows up, and the whole concept here is to try to maintain that so that when Philadelphia comes to town, they can't catch you.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, John, you might get what you want as far as you know, having a 6 or 7 game lead going into that series against the Phillies. So it looked like that might be the case.
Yeah, that's, it'd be great here for the Braves. The Mets play the Red Sox. If you're keeping tabs here, the Mets are really out of it, but they're not, you know, mathematically eliminated. Miami's mathematically eliminated. Washington's mathematically eliminated. The Mets aren't. We've got to keep our, eyes on them, throughout the week here. But the Braves are going to have to do something, Hugh. Last night, Wasker was really good until he struggled in the fourth inning, and then they went to their bullpen, and they kind of did a bullpen game where they had a bunch of guys come try them out one inning, that worked. And so that's good, except they're going to have to do it again tonight because they're going to start Jesse Chavez tonight, Hugh, and they're going to do one of those bullpen games. And the reason they're going to do a bullpen game is because of that makeup game that's coming in San Diego.
Yeah, they're trying to save somebody, keep somebody mm-hmm. safe, right? Yeah.
And so
the score going to be when they start that game, John? I can't remember.
5-4 San Diego.
Okay.
And of course, the Braves get a bad break because that game was played here, and now it's going to be played in San Diego. I would assume that the Braves will still be the home team, which means they bat last. But you're not at home. You're there. So that's kind of a bad break. And when I say that there are 14 games to go for the Braves, really there are only 13 because you had that Colorado game that just got rained out. And hopefully, Hugh, that doesn't come into play. I mean, there is a scenario where suddenly that Colorado game that was rained out that you play, you missed against Colorado, you might have to play it. And that would really suck if you think about it. You'd have to, fly, because I don't think Colorado's going to come here. They're probably going to say no. So you'd probably have to play it in Denver, Well, I don't know. It's weird. Let's see how this kind of all plays out here. At the moment, though, things are looking good. That was a big win last night to open up that four-game lead. And focus in on the loss column. Don't focus in on how many games behind Philadelphia is. Look at that loss column as you're going forward here. The Braves are four up in the loss column with, 12, 13, 14 to play, depending on how you kind of look at it. So what do you think of the Packers last night? What did you think of this whole A-Rod thing? He looked pretty good, didn't he?
I mean, that's why I was tuned into the game, because, you know, it was a lot of speculation about whether or not he had thrown in the towel and everything like that. Oh, you know what my takeaway from that game last night was? Man, Jared Goff, like, he got some little hands. Remind me of that Burger King commercial. And he's like, I can't eat the Whopper because I got little hands. He fumbled quite a bit. It was like he just had trouble controlling the football. That's what it looked like to me. But, yeah, like A-Rod's back. Looked like he was ready to play. And I to be honest, John, I don't think it was a doubt in anybody's mind who was going to win that game last night. I mean, really.
No, there shouldn't have been. I mean, the Lions are still in, you know, they're not in a great spot. You know, Jared Goff is a guy that I don't have. I know he went to a Super Bowl. I get it. I just have never really had a ton of faith in him as a quarterback.
He struggled. He struggled a little bit yesterday.
You know,
I should say.
You know, I just think that he's a very average player at best, and I don't mean that as a slam in any way. I just think he's kind of limited. And so, you know, he's one of those guys. When he went to the Super Bowl, it was one of those. To me, it was a Trent Dilfer moment. You know, it was a moment where – a Joe Flacco moment where an average quarterback got to a Super Bowl and he did. It happens on occasion. And in this case, it happened with him. The Packers, though, are – you know, they're a pretty good team. And I still think A-Rod's an exceptional quarterback. That's why what happened was so confounding, Hugh, down in Jacksonville – and had all of us talking about whether or not A-Rod had quit was because you went, wait a second, the Packers are a really good team. The Packers are actually a better team than the Saints, which I still think they are, and they got just worked in that game.
Yeah, I never thought for a minute that he quit. I just, you know, bad day. I mean, and for him to come back, you know, he came back and he proved everybody wrong. But the unfortunate thing about it is, John, all year that's going to be, you know, even though he proved them wrong this weekend, all year, that's going to be probably a conversation that he's probably going to have. I mean, really, because, you know, everybody's going to say, well, you know, he had that bad game, and if he has another one, then they're going to be starting to wonder whether or not he, you know.
He's starting to check out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was the other confounding thing about it was that, you know, he redid his contract. He got a one-year deal, and then he got an option, you know, in the second year. And we all said, okay, so he's going to play one more year in Green Bay. And, you know, he got some of the things that he wanted. He got the new deal so he can only play one more year. He got them to go out and get Randall Cobb for him. You know, I thought, okay, you know, he's going to try and he wants to rub it in their face. How do you rub it in their face? You go out and win a Super Bowl. And then you're holding up the trophy saying, I'm leaving town, you know. You are the commander.
I mean, that'd be a great way to write the story. Yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, your Super Bowl MVP, you know, are you going to Disneyland? And you say, you look in the camera and you go, I'm going anywhere but Green Bay next year. You know, I mean, that kind of thing. So that's what made the opening game so weird was that it was just 180 degrees from what we expected. But anyway, the Packers beat the Lions last night 35-17. And given what, you know, Minnesota's done so far this year, and they're a decent team, but given the struggles, the Packers look again like they are the clear favorites in the NFC North in terms of that. Georgia got some good news yesterday, Hugh. The Georgia Dogs are practicing. My understanding from Mike Griffith, who covers Georgia for Dog Nation, he's a senior UGA writer. He's also, if you listen to the program, on this program quite often, he's been telling us that, you know, Kirby Smart has been – this is just Coach Smart's way of doing things, because he's using kind of COVID as a reasoning here to shut the media out of practices. And yesterday, the media got to see a practice for the first time, I think, since COVID hit. I think this is the first time, Hugh, in a year and a half that the media has been allowed into practice. What they saw was George Pickens running straight lines, not cutting, but running straight lines. What they saw was Tyke Smith, the big name, one of those two big name transfer defensive backs working out, and he had been injured. And Darnell Washington, the star tight end, working out, and he had been injured. And it looks like Darnell Washington and Tyke Smith might be available for this weekend against Vanderbilt. Not that they need them, but that they might be available against Vanderbilt. And Hewitt, it looks like that George Pickens, who knows, George Pickens might be available to play before the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great if they could get Pickens back the way that defense is playing and to have another weapon on offense for that team. I kind of like Bowers, though, the young tight end from California. I kind of like the way that he's been playing a little bit. But I like him. But it's good to have another weapon, you know, in that in the fold for you, especially when you start talking about trying to roll and roll through this season undefeated.
Yeah,
the way that defense is playing.
And you're going to take it easy. I mean, unless Tyke Smith and Darnell Washington are absolutely 100%, you don't want to have to, like, you know, necessarily waste them in this game because, let's be honest, Hugh, this Vanderbilt team, I mean, they are nowhere near being competitive in the SEC right now.
Yeah, but if you can get them going and get them kind of like, you know, just acclimated, get them ready for the season, you know, that'll be great. I think that, you know, just get them lathered up a little bit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Even if you could get them right, 6, 8, 10 snaps.
Yeah, get them out there for a minute, see how they look, and then, you know, put them back in the box. But yeah, get them out there and get them lathered up a little bit.
Yeah. No, I totally understand what you're saying, and I kind of agree. So that'll be an interesting little side story in a game that otherwise most I anticipate will be something on the order of a 48-0 Georgia win. And it's just that Clark Lee's got a lot of work to do at Vanderbilt. This is a program that really is.
They got money. They just don't have. They don't invest it in the athletics. Well, football.
Well, and they finally started to, because, you know, they are pouring money into the new facility. They are upgrading their stadium finally.
Isn't that because they had to? They were kind of forced to it. They were talking about, because at one point they were talking about kicking them out of the SEC.
Yeah, but yes. The answer to your question, Hugh? Yes, they were talking.
So they
about
had to
out.
Put some money into yes. the. They had to put some money into the program.
Yep, the SEC was saying, "Look, if you're not going to compete in the SEC, or at least try to, yeah, we can go a different direction here. We'll go a little bit of a different direction here on this Tuesday morning. This chilly, overcast Tuesday morning. Little morning mash coming up for you, and then we're going to be talking to you about the Falcons, and we want you to start thinking about the three players that have to step up for the Falcons in your mind. We'll walk you through what we want to talk about in our big discussion today. Next up, though, Orin and the Morning Mash, some of the fun stuff with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
It's 6:20 Atlanta. Time for the Morning Mashup. Yay!
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. You know, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning Mashup time. Orin Romain at the Mothership at the Kia Studios. Morning to you, Orin. What up?
Morning.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
What's going on?
How chilling. We doing, guys?
I'm good. I can't complain.
You can't complain, you don't?
Can't complain.
That's what's up. All right. I'm doing well as well. That sounded weird to say. Yeah, no complaints. It's a Tuesday. Yesterday was sort of from a weather perspective and also from a Falcons game discussion perspective, was a bit dreary, so.
Melancholy?
Yeah, a little bit downtrodden.
Well, we're just practicing for the rest of the year, that's all.
Oh, I can't do this for the rest of the year, John Fricky.
Well, I got bad news for you.
I'm sorry. There might have come a point where I just have to do a complete separate. Like, you know what? Hey, whatever they do is what they do, and what Oren does is what Oren. Like, there might have to be some splitting up, if you will.
Well, you know, one of the tweeters said, you know, can't believe you guys have to do this. I mean, you're two games in, something to the effect of, the boy, this must, you know, suck to have to do this job. And I said, look, Braves make the playoffs. Atlanta, you know, United's going to make the playoffs. You got Georgia. You got the Hawks season starting. I mean, there's a lot to be happy about.
This story isn't written yet. I mean, this story is not written yet, in my opinion. Right. I mean, it doesn't look good. But like I said, some winnable games coming up on the schedule. You could easily be 2-2. You know, this could be a distant memory.
Hopefully.
You know, and if you end up 2-15 and the two happens to be the right two, you know, then, you know, it's a winning season.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that, John. Sure. Whatever you say.
That's an extremely optimistic way of looking at it, John Fricky. Sure.
Good times.
Sure. The NFL, speaking of pro football, the NFL has a bit of a problem right now. I think Randy Mack was talking yesterday about how last season they called, I think it was 30-some-odd taunting penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And as it stands through 2 weeks of the season right now, they already have close to 20. The NFL made it a point of emphasis this offseason to, hey, flag more taunting, and their definition of taunting has broadened, if you will. So the things that you did before, maybe like a small flex or you know, getting in someone's face where before it might not, you know, get a flag. Now it gets a flag. And a lot of folks are sort of upset about this, how it's the No Fun League is coming back into play and the referees are taking a lot of the individual character, if you will, out of the players and out of the game. But if you ask one Bill Belichick, he thinks the NFL is doing the right thing.
In general, I don't think there's a place for taunting in the game. I think that's poor sportsmanship, and it leads to other things. It leads to retaliation. And then, you know, where do you draw the line? And so I think the whole idea of the rule is to kind of nip it in the bud and not let it get started. And I'm in favor of that. I think that, you know, we should go out there and compete and try to play good football and win the game on the field. I don't think it's about taunting and poor sportsmanship. That's not really my idea of what good football is.
Yeah, well, see, this is what's going to happen. They're calling it, they're overreacting to certain things so that guys can course correct. Remember, they did this a few years ago when it came to the hold. Was it the holding penalty or the pass interference?
Pass interference.
Yeah, that's what it was. Remember, they did that a couple years ago.
They called a whole bunch of them in the preseason.
Yes, and what they're doing now, they're calling these so that they'll course correct as the season progresses. That's all they're doing. It's an overreaction to it because that's how you get guys to fall into lockstep. You know, you call it so much that it becomes a part of, you know, now guys are thinking about it all the time because right now nobody's thinking about it. You know, you're just out there playing. But now, you know, you get guys getting called for it and it's starting to hurt the team and the coach starting to say something about it. Now you start to, you know, subconsciously think about it and you don't do it anymore. That's all they're doing. It'll slow down as the season progresses. As we're 2 weeks into the season, it's going to slow down once they start, you know, get doing what they want to do with it, get everybody paranoid.
Right. Yeah. But the problem is right now they're calling celebrations taunting. Who was it? One of the players. It was a receiver made a really good catch and he grabbed the ball and he spun the ball, you know, on the ground.
Yeah, but that's what they want to do, John. I mean, it's that's the thing. Like they say taunting. But the NFL has probably had that mandate where they said we don't want them excessively celebrating. That's probably what it is.
Yet they want them to do Lambeau leaps. They want them to do, you know, end zone celebrations.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the definition of taunting is. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, if you're in somebody's face, that's a different story.
That's taunting to me. But right. Basically, it's all the excessive celebrating. Yeah. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. The No Fun League. I really don't get it. You know, I mean, I can understand the frustration of players. I'm not even a player. You were a player. Can't imagine. Can you imagine, you know, how many times you might have been flagged for taunting just because you went, yeah, you know, after a sack or something? Or, you know, high-stepped after a sack, you know? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is, John. They're just trying to get, you know, get players to fall in lockstep, what they're trying to do. Okay.
Morning Mash with Oren Romain.
All right, guys. We're going to stay in the NFL. Head over to the Monday Night Football broadcast with Peyton and Eli last night. Several guests. Gronk was there. Brett Favre was there. Brett Favre was there. I think there's a couple more guys, too. But there was a part where Peyton and Eli were talking about communication and a certain NFL team that got caught spying on other NFL teams. Let's listen to this right here.
I mean, I felt like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
Go.
Did y'all
get in?
Hey, you know, I remember we played the Patriots in that second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there. Oh, little snap count there, E.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Belichick cares what, seven Super Bowl championships in? What is it, seven, right? Mm-hmm. Seven, yeah. You think he cares?
No.
I mean, because it's not going to – you know, as much as people talk about his legacy and all that stuff and him not having Tom Brady anymore, he's still going to the Hall of Fame. Still a Hall of Fame coach. Nothing's going to change in that effect, so I don't think he's really too much tripping on what people say about him. Don't strike me as a guy who's really too much worried about that, to be honest.
No, but boy, they, you know, it is interesting. All the stories, everybody kind of looking for something. I kind of doubt that the Mannings had their blockers bugged. And, you know, but, I mean, they were taping – look, New England was taping practices. They got caught taping practices. They got caught deflating footballs. So, I mean, there's some truth to it. I mean, problem is there's some truth to it, Hugh. I mean, New England was skirting the rules.
Yeah, and how has it really affected them in the grand scheme of things? Slap on the wrist?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Spygate, deflategate, this gate,
still,
that gate.
Yeah. And won as many championships as they did. They ain't tripping in New England.
Yeah. All right, Oren, you got anything else?
Yeah, I got one more here. Monday Night Football last night, Packers and the Lions played. Aaron Rodgers had a great game. Aaron Jones had an even bigger game last night. After the game, he was doing an on-the-field interview with Lisa Salters, and he talked about how a important piece of an article of jewelry that he wears was lost during the game, and I'll let him explain the importance of it.
Came here at Lambeau without your dad. Just how much was he on your heart tonight?
He was really on my heart. I have a chain with a football, and his ashes are in it. I scored, and it fell off in the end zone. So I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone. So.
You didn't. You haven't found it?
I haven't. The grounds crew was looking for it, though. So.
Oh, we gotta go get
that. We'll find it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, like to wear something that means that much to you. Mm-hmm. They'll find it. It should be out there. If it's out there on the field, they'll find it because they call those groundskeepers. And plus, he put it out there like that. If they see it, they'll let him know. Mm-hmm. They would definitely let him know.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And he had a huge night last night. Boy,
yes,
I jugged him on his fantasy team. Four touchdowns. That wins a few fantasy. That's a FanDuel win, you know, for the Packers. Man, so, yeah, that is pretty neat. Pretty neat story here. And the Packers showed up last night. So again, any of this question about A-Rod and whether or not he quit, you know, you can put that to rest for right now. It will be one of the more fascinating stories as we talked about going forward this season. What do the Packers do? And what we all think, Hugh, I mean, who knows? Aaron Rodgers could go, you know, hey, listen, I've had a change of heart. I want to stay. Who knows?
Man, he ain't staying. Like I don't see him staying in Green Bay. If he's said all that, John.
Yeah, I know.
He ain't staying.
Yeah.
He gone now.
Yeah, he's his own kind of Favre. It was appropriate Brett Favre was there for all the times that Brett Favre said he wanted to retire and leave Green Bay.
Fun fact, though, guys, too. Well, I mentioned before how the Favres are my cousins, but Brett talked about how the first time he met Eli was at a bar in Pass Christiane, Mississippi, owned by his uncle. Tweeted this last night, let everybody know, too. My uncle just tell the story about that bar. And how one night Brett Favre's brother was there, and my uncle knocked him out, and then he picked him back up and bought him a beer afterwards.
So he beat him up and then bought him a beer?
Beat him up and then bought him a beer.
Oh, what was awesome. Your connection? You're related to the Favres how?
They're like my fourth, or they're like fourth cousins. Distant, but yeah, there's some lineage here between the Favres and I.
Okay, yeah.
Brett Favre.
Did you know that when he was playing, by the way?
No, I found out like 4 or 5 months ago, courtesy of 23andMe.
Oh, I got you.
Would like to use that at some point. Hey, like, hey, can I get some tickets? My cousin's playing. I don't think they would have let that happen, though.
Never.
Nah.
We're going to ask a question. First off, the team's going to do it, and then a little bit later in the show, you're going to answer it, and you can start to answer it in your car. We want you to start to think about it. The question is really kind of simple. Given what you've seen in the first two games, who are the three players on the Falcons you need to see more of? You only get three, okay? Which three do you need to see more of? I've got a list of three. Everybody's going to have a list of three. Who do you need to see more of? And, well, you know, everybody's going to have a different list. That's why it'll be interesting. And we'll do that next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 90. Time again.
We got to make sure when we go out there and, you know, if people do gain yards, you got to make them kick field goals. So when you're in some of the zone defenses you're at, if you don't get pressure or whatever, you know, they move somebody off the spot underneath, they got a couple back in there. The ones that kill you are the 40-yard plus touchdowns. I mean, you got to live with some of those. You don't want them, but if they get some of those chunks, you got to be able to rally, get them off the field.
Real, it was announced concussion, but we don't know if he went to the field.
Yeah, we're still in the evaluation process with him. So, again, I can give you more information as the week goes on.
Yeah, talking about A.J. Terrell, and we don't know if he's going to be available for the game against the Giants. And the fact is he's been the one really good player in that secondary. He's had a really nice start of the season, made a lot of big plays, prevented a lot of big plays that the Falcons otherwise would have given up. And they've given up way too many anyway. I mean, they are susceptible to being scored on from great distances and relatively easily. This defense has got a lot to answer to you, Douglas. I mean, because it is getting it's getting worked right now.
They played good for three quarters, though. I just had to go there. I went there. I know. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I give you three quarters of hell.
The defense is getting here come another mobile quarterback this weekend, and one of the best running backs in the entire NFL. When you go up to New York to face the Giants, I know a lot of people don't think a whole lot of the Giants, but Daniel Jones. Does move with his feet, and Saquon can run the football, and so
he can run. Yeah. Like Daniel Jones can pull it down and run. Mm-hmm. You know, not probably the most dominant presence in the pocket like you would want a quarterback to be, but he definitely can. He's had his moments where he's pulled it down and made some plays with his legs.
All right, so the question today on the table is going to be, which three players, Falcons players, do you need to see more from? You get three. And by the way, so the rules here are pretty simple. It's three individual players. It's not units. So when we do get to your calls, don't say, the entire offensive line. You know, again, the coaching staff. No, again, three individual players that you want to see more from in this team. And yes, you can say Matt Ryan because that's a legitimate answer. And I'm sure, Hugh, that somebody's going to call in and go, Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, number two. Those are my three. I'm just trying to.
Probably, more than likely. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, if that's how you feel, I mean, that's fine. I mean, there's no issue. I have no issue with that. I mean, if you feel like he needs to do more. I mean, to be honest, John, while you're playing, I feel like he's one of mine.
Yeah, no. It's okay.
He's one of mine.
I was kind of mocking the idea that he's all three, you know. And again, we're trying to get three individual players, not units. And not coaching staffs and stuff like that. I have my list. Do you have yours?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of mine. Okay, Matt's definitely one of mine. I think that when you're in a situation where you know that there are some flaws offensively, you have to do more. And I know that's probably asking a lot, but, you know, you've been given a lot, you know, and I think that's probably part of the problem when people have – when they see it. You know, when they're looking at it and they see, you know, unfortunately, the dollar amount that you're getting and everything, that's tied to everything, John. You know, because when you hear people talk about Matt Ryan and what he's doing or what he isn't doing, money always comes up. I mean, that's just how people equate that position. Oh, you're making all the money. You should do everything. I mean, realistically, it doesn't work like that. But I think in this situation, he could probably do a little bit more to help his offensive line. I mean, he's doing what he can, but he could probably do a little bit more. I would probably go my other person is Grady Jarrett. Same thing. You know, I mean, you're a guy that's looked at as a leader, and you're doing a lot. You're doing a lot, but when you're in a situation like this, you have to do more. I mean, I know it's not what people want to hear, or it's not one of those things that is, cool or it's fair. It's not – life ain't fair, you know. You're on a team that a lot of people feel is devoid of a lot of talent. So, you're a talented individual. You got to do more. You have to do more. And then I would say probably off of the offensive line, Jalen Mayfield. I think that you know, he's in a position where, you know, you've been entrusted to go out there and play and execute. He stepped his game up last week. No question about that. He stepped his game up last week. But he needs to do more.
We're asking about three players you need to see more of, three Falcons you need to see more of as they go to New York, pardon me, to New Jersey, let's be technical about it, to face the Giants this weekend. When I first did my list, very first thing is I put down was punter, and I was like, okay, I mean, that's pretty obvious, and you know what, if we're relying on a punter, then, you know, Shankopotamus last week hurt us, I get it, but you know what, if that's what we're looking at, then we're in real trouble here. So here are my three here. One is Caleb McGrady. We're in year three here, you know. Ooh. I mean, Caleb McGarry.
No, it's cool, it happens.
Misspoke.
Yeah, you good.
Yeah, Caleb
good.
McGarry. We're in year three here, and, you know, it's time for him to show. Look, I'm not expecting him. as a former number one pick anymore to be an all-pro right tackle, but I am expecting him to be, don't make yourself a problem here, you know, because he's to be an issue, and you're still an issue. And, if we've got an issue at left guard, if we've got a young center or two young centers, don't be another issue on top of that. And so I need to see more from McGarry. Number two is Foye Luken. And the reason I picked Foye is I need – Deion's playing at a pretty high level right now. I need the linebackers. And Deion and Walker and Foye are all playing at a – I need the linebackers to be the unit. This team doesn't have a unit.
I thought you said we were going to do units. We're going to do individuals.
No, that we are. That's why. I think Walker and Deion are playing to their level. I need Foye to start making a lot of plays. So my thing is –
Didn't he have a peanut Tillman punch last – wasn't that him? It's your list.
I'm just saying consistently I need more out of Foye. I need Foye to jump in there and start – and he will. And you're just asking who do you need to see a little bit more of. We're asking a lot of that core. I get it. Because of the defensive line issues, because of now who knows what happens with A.J. Terrell and, kind of a rebuilt and relooked secondary. We're asking a lot out of the linebackers. But I am asking, you just ask who do I need to see more of? I need to see our linebackers have – we need to have two, legitimate, threat to be all-pro linebackers play like it. That's all. And so I think he's a really good player. And the third is Marlon Davidson. Hugh, we need something out of this guy. I know that he's had the COVID and he had the injuries and he had the admission that, he wasn't, all there in terms of understanding the commitment that it took to be a professional player, I think is probably a decent way to put it. Those are my three I need to see more of. And that's just my list. Oren, do you have a list?
It's too many. No.
You only get three, Oren.
You get three. I would legit, I think, just pick three offensive linemen. I would go Hennessy.
That's easy to do, too.
I go Hennessy. I go Jalen Mayfield, and I go Caleb McGarry because I think if – honestly, that's the one unit I think right now that needs the most stabilization. And if you can stabilize that, I think that would help out so many more units on the offensive and the defensive end. Because you'd be able to do so much with the running game and control the clock. So, I take two of the three. Two of the three. But I guess maybe three of the three would be a little bit greedy. But two of the three, just give me something a little bit better, and I'll roll from there.
Abe, do you have a list of three that you could kind of hone in on?
Yeah, one for me is Grady Jarrett. This is not in order, but Grady Jarrett's definitely one of them. He's not Aaron Donald. We understand this, but he's our Aaron Donald. He's the guy that the disruption up front is supposed to begin with. We've seen a little bit of it, but he's supposed to be a Pro Bowl type of player. I'd like to see a little bit more. I'm surprised I'm the only one who is saying this. Mike Davis.
I thought it, but I only had three.
We brought Mike Davis in to be an RB1. And so far he's been outclassed by a guy that's been used as a gadget wide receiver and returner his whole career in Cordarrelle Patterson. And props to Cordarrelle Patterson for taking advantage of the opportunity. But Mike Davis was supposed to be a workhorse back. He had less than 10 carries, I want to say, against the Bucs.
You know what's funny? I was looking at – I think, as much as Cordero looked like he carried it better, Mike had a pretty decent game.
Cordarrelle Patterson had one carry for 10 yards, then he had six carries for 1 yard. I mean, let's not get crazy. We know what he did in the passing game, obviously, but let's not go above and beyond what Cordarrelle Patterson did out of the backfield. It's not anything special. So, but Mike Davis is supposed to be the guy, and so I need to see that from him, obviously. And then, John, you say yes or no to this. Can I put Arthur Smith on the list, or does it need to be a player?
I think you were the one that came up with this. We said players.
I need to see something better from Arthur Smith. The in-game
management. Who's your third player? And then you can,
It would have been Caleb McGarry. Caleb McGarry. First-round pick. I don't blame Jalen Mayfield, guys. He wasn't drafted to be a starting offensive lineman this year. He's been thrown into a terrible situation. He's performed poorly. He got better in week two. So I'm not going to blame him and put him on the list. But McGarry's supposed to be more dominant than he's been.
All right, what players do you think? And we'll get to your calls in the next hour. We'll be asking you for your list of three Falcons players that need to step up right now to try to salvage something out of the start of the season here. We go into a little rapid fire as we head towards the 7 o'clock hour. Some of the questions, a little bit of NFL questions, I think. Yes, and there's a question about animals. All right, we'll explain. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.